I actually play myself, Frankie, which is sort of weird, actually, as we've been filming it. You know, they're like, Frankie Muniz, and I'm like, am I filming or is it real life? And it's sort of hard to be myself, I've found out. I've been saying, I don't know how to be me.
Hey, hey.
Hi.
Welcome back to Disney Channel Original Groupies.
I'm groupie number...
One!
Should I be number one?
Yeah, you can be number one.
I'm groupie number one, Rebecca.
I'm groupie number two, Jackie. This is your fave podcast.
Yeah,
that
we know that
talk
by now.
About talks about Disney Channel original movies, and we're slowly going through the list of the entire collection that exists.
And in no particular order.
It's just whatever the vibe is. Just whatever's feeling the vibe.
And I don't know if you noticed, but I'm wearing kind of I decided to look a bit athletic.
You look very athletic.
Today.
Actually, okay, so Rebecca's wearing a Lakers jersey, but you're not the most athletic I've ever seen you. You have this red tracksuit that you wear with a beanie sometimes.
Wait.
You wore it to my house once and I died.
Oh, that was black though. That wasn't
Oh, was
red.
It black?
Yeah,
I don't know why I'm picturing
but it says
you in a red...
The one that has an R right over here
Rebecca.
Yeah, it's from my grandma. It was for Ruth.
Oh. So not the most athletic I've ever seen you, but still very athletic.
And you're not wearing Justin's team colors of teal and purple.
I should be, honestly. Let's just go through some housekeeping first.
Yeah, we have some house to keep.
Yeah, so, Rebecca's going on family vacay. That's really exciting.
It's that time of year.
Where are you gonna be?
We're gonna be going on a tiger cruise.
Wow, that's super exciting. So,
yeah.
Due to this tiger cruise, we're gonna be taking an extra week, probably.
Yeah, so expect to hear from us end of August.
Yeah, we'll be back with you.
We'll
take vacay.
Yeah. Everyone needs even
4 episodes. We need a vacay.
After this, it'll be 5. I mean, that's not nothing.
Yeah. So thanks for your patience, everyone. Thanks for sticking with us. And Rebecca will come back at you real refreshed.
And in the interim, we're going to be tweeting.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to be posting. We're going to be interacting.
I've been retweeting, I feel like, Keke Palmer a lot. But just because, like... Just, like, if you're not already following Keke Palmer on Twitter, stop, pause this podcast, we will wait, follow her on Twitter, come back. Like, she is worth it. Like, tweets every fucking second,
love
but it's
it.
Always gold. You know who else tweets every second and it's so annoying?
Who?
Dove Cameron. Like, our feed is just only Dove Cameron, and it's like, we don't care that much about you. I think she's like shit now at Disney.
That's the different generation.
Yeah.
That's just what
it's
it
just
is.
Like,
I like
if let's say Kevin Jonas tweeted every second, we'd be like, Kevin, enough.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So housekeeping aside, we should probably bring up some Disney Channel news that's in the news. This one at first I wasn't sure if it was Disney Channel news, but then of course I remembered his iconic cameo on Lizzie McGuire.
Oh my god.
And that's our boy Aaron.
Aaron Carter,
have you heard this? Your paramour?
What?
He came out as bi.
Shut the fuck up.
No.
Wow.
Aaron Carter.
Okay, so the reason I'm laughing, I feel like that makes me sound really intolerant.
It's not coming from that at all.
It's not coming from a place of intolerance. It's coming from a place, if you don't know this, but I feel like anyone who's listening to this podcast already knows the story, that the night of my 19th birthday, I attended an Aaron Carter concert and met him afterwards, and he told me I was beautiful and kissed me smack on the lips. So that's like... my claim to fame in life.
Well, he just
so
clarified.
That's why I'm laughing, not because I'm intolerant.
I mean, he's laughing because he says he's looking forward to the future with a man or a woman.
Wow.
And I think that a lot of, like, then you think, like, that so much of his acting out was probably, like, you know, he's been in some rough spots. You think a lot of his acting out was probably about, there's still,
What?
Sorry, it just started playing in my headphones. I don't think it recorded. I opened a link on People and I hear Aaron Carter opens up in an emotional letter. And I got worried for a second that it was getting picked up. I'd have to pay royalties.
Wow.
So Carter also admits that turmoil and personal issues in his relationship with ex Madison Parker further fueled his desire to speak out.
Huh. I didn't know they were broken up. I know that he dated Cheryl from Riverdale.
Yeah, Madeline Petch.
Yeah.
here, so he posted a big note, like a note screen cap to Twitter. It's very long, and at the very end, he says the best quote to sum it up: "I've never felt as though I didn't belong. I just acted as though I did." By Boy George, which is just really cute. That I'm really happy cute. For Aaron. It shows like even if you like have it all, even if you're a celebrity, even if you have fans, like it's still
feel not like yourself.
It's hard.
That is hard.
It's a journey for everyone. So that's my news. I'm so happy you got to break it.
Yeah. Now I know why you didn't tell me before we recorded this. That's great. I also have some news.
Okay.
So a follow-up. So shout out to all of our listeners who have personally messaged me or tweeted at DCOM groupies. Just like following up on the Jake Paul controversy from last episode.
Yes.
I didn't know how passionate our audience was about that subject, but they are because I received both tweets and personal messages about this. And so there's more because
there's always more.
Obviously there's more. Boy. Okay, so there's two things that happened this week that made me die. The first is he did this like YouTube video. Okay, first I think we should just play a clip of It's Everyday Bro just to make our listeners' ears bleed for 5 seconds. Right here, we're doing it right here.
It's Everyday Bro with the Disney Channel flow. 5 mil on YouTube in 6 months. Never done before. Pass all the competition.
Okay,
man,
now that you know what It's Everyday Bro sounds like.
Wait, can I just say that the Spanish twin verse is like kind of
it's
okay.
The best thing ever. Also, that girl's verse in it is really annoying.
Awful.
When she's like, "I smell good. Is that your bro's cologne?
Yeah, I smell good. Is that your boy's cologne?"
It's like, shut the fuck up.
She sucks. The British one sucks. Anyway.
He's also really ugly.
Oh, very much so. He's a full potato.
Okay, so anyway, after he got... Sorry, I just really abruptly cut you off. After he got, like, this whole firing thing, he has a YouTube video called YouTube Stars Diss. And in it, he says, "Where was y'all at when Selena left Disney? Didn't talk shit to her, but now you talk shit to me. Where was y'all when the neighbors didn't hate me? They all wanted pictures, but now they trying to play me." And it's like, wait, did you just compare yourself to Selena Gomez leaving Disney? Because I'm pretty sure she had a contract and saw that through, and you suck.
She wasn't, like, lighting mattresses on fire in the pool or jumping on the news van.
Yeah, like, he's just an asshole. And then the second piece of news, this is actually, like, very serious.
Oh, shit.
So, basically, he was doing a vlog, and a fan came up to him in a car in the passenger side and said, "Hi, can you put this on blog, please?" And Jake Paul responded, "Where are you from?" And the fan said, "I am from Kazakhstan originally." And Jake Paul said, "It sounds like you're just going to blow someone up. Send the nuke."
What?
So not only is he shitty at his very core, he is racist at his very core. Called a fan, like, assuming this is true, I mean, it's from j14.com, so yeah. That's a very
reliable source.
Yeah. But, like, assuming this is true, that... What?
Okay, A, what the fuck? And B, if someone tells you that they're from Kazakhstan, you say, "My wife," like you do a Borat. That's it. Just leave it at that. If you want to be racist, firstly, don't. Secondly, like, we have a cultural shorthand for that.
Yeah.
And it's my wife. God damn. You know, I got in this climate, really?
Yeah.
That.
But here's the issue with it all. Like, he's just getting more and more famous.
I know. It's trash.
So, like, all of this controversy is just making it worse.
I really hope for our sake that he hasn't been in a late stage DCOM, because, like, I don't think I could handle... I can't bring my usual objective critical eye to a film.
Yeah.
With this trash bag.
But let's do it anyway.
I mean, if he's in one, we're doing
it. We're gonna watch it.
Yep.
Where was your love when Selena left Disney? Didn't talk shit to her, but now you talk shit to me.
All right. So, should we start talking about the movie for today?
I think we should. So, we decided to veer away from the usual, the glamour, the elegance, the glitz.
This is an OG.
Yeah, this is a real... Because even Smart House, like, that smart house was pretty glamorous.
Yeah, this is, like, really the meat and potatoes of the Disney Channel original movies.
It is a meat and potatoes. It is such a kind of a dad and his boy and their surrogate dad.
It's really beautiful. And you know what? It's based on a true story. And we can talk about that after.
Yeah.
Because I Googled it.
I'm going to ask you up front before we even get into it or see what the movie is. Did you cry?
No.
Footage at the end?
No. Oh, yeah.
Footage at the end, I cried.
You just fully cried.
Come on.
Yeah, no, it's really nice. Okay, so spoiler. And like how this is the second episode in a row where we've like held back what we're going to do, even though it's fully in the episode title. Okay, so we're doing Miracle in Lane 2 starring Frankie Muniz. And it's based on a true story. It's about a boy named Justin who is in a wheelchair and he wishes to compete in
soapbox derbies.
So for those of you who don't know soapbox racing, because I TBH didn't know, what that
from
was.
From the Little Rascals movie.
Oh, fair. Yeah. Fair, great film. Wow.
With one kid's mom is Whoopi Goldberg.
And the other one is Reba.
I did it.
Yeah. So good. Anyway. Oh my god, that's such a good movie. And the Olsen twins are in that one as like the youngins. Anyway. So for those of you who don't know, soapbox is like little race cars, but they're shitty and have no motor.
This seems like such a dangerous sport, let alone if your kid has spina bifida and it's like established that, you know, like he's kind of sheltered for a certain amount of reasons. For any child, this is terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is like full luge.
So we'll explore this dangerous space.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's jump right into it.
Okay.
Okay. So we start with like a montage. We're at Frankie Muniz's house. God bless Frankie Muniz. And he's, like, talking about all the reasons why his family is great. So it's, like, a little montage. So he's like, my mom is great because blah, blah, blah. My dad is great because he's cool. My brother is a jock and he's real cool and blah, blah, blah. Then he's like, and then there's me. Oh, sorry. During this, before this, he goes, the one exception to the great neighborhood is old man Vic, who, quote, lives all alone and hates kids. So he introduces his amazing family. And then he introduces his shitty neighbor, old man Vic.
Who, for old man, like, looks pretty good. Like, I don't think he looked more than 48, maybe.
He was probably 48 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, not that old.
In 2000, they just didn't live as long.
Yeah.
Where it was a different time.
So, we learn that Frankie is named Justin.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in a wheelchair because he has spina bifida.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains at some point that that is like a condition where like spinal fluid leaks into his head. Is that true?
That's one condition of it. And another is that like it's, you know, his spinal cord, like it's just he can't, his nerves aren't sending signals to his legs.
Mm.
He gets the spinal fluid build up in his head. They have to watch out for headaches. We get like a very good rundown. There's like a nice teachable moment. With him and old man Vic, where he explains.
Right,
that's later.
Right. So, Justin's family is on the way to this funeral, and they're very enthusiastic about it.
They're, like, playing it for comedy,
yeah.
Which, like, again, in 2000, they just, like, rolled like that in
They
D-coms.
Just did shit like that
was
all
like,
the time.
Like, do I have to go to old man whatever's funeral?
Yeah. So, his brother is this guy named Seth, who's this really cool guy who's, like, amazing at every sport, and like Justin clearly aspires to be like Seth.
Yeah.
So then Seth's like, do I have to go to the funeral? And his parents are like, nah, it's chill. And then Justin's like, wait, what the fuck? But then they just go ahead with that. Then he doesn't go.
But it's also kind of important that like Justin goes to the funeral because death is like a theme that is looming over this movie.
Because right after this, when he introduces himself and he's like, yeah, I'm in a wheelchair, we go to this weird cut to this weird scene where he's in, like, this weird dreamlike reality where he talks to God, but God is a hot car repairman who's a race car driver. And he's, like, and he's wearing a t-shirt. God, that is wearing a t-shirt that says, I don't make mistakes.
Okay.
Sorry, is this a real race car driver, or is it an actor playing a famous guy? Or is he famous? I forgot to Google.
I straight up did not bother to look it up.
What was the race car driver?
Bobby Wade.
Am I just being dumb? Like, is he real or not?
I've never heard of him. I will say the fact that in Justin's mind, God is like serving full Grease Lightning. I was like, same. This is
great. It gave me such Grease Lightning vibes.
And just like, like,
I see no real Bobby Wade. I think it was an actor.
Modeling, like, for, like, a cheesy calendar. So gutsy that this movie, like, goes there and is playing all this stuff for laughs.
Yeah.
It's so asking the real gutsy questions. It's keeping it light. Like, it's really a tonal balance that's, like, hitting.
Yeah.
It's working.
It really is. It is kind of dark, but jolly like that. It's very bold.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Justin's like, God, why'd you make a mistake on me? And God points to his t-shirt and is like, well, he's like a swanky man who's like, could be smoking cigarettes and getting girls. He's like, I don't make mistakes.
Some mad sideburns. He's toweling down his car.
It's like, interesting representation of God.
Very interesting. There's like the Friday Night Lights lighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of, like, these one-on-ones with God where, like, Frankie's not afraid to, like, ask the question.
Yeah, and so we see a one-on-one with God right at the funeral where Frankie pictures himself in the casket. He's talking about, and we see his biggest insecurity where, like, the priest at the funeral is being like, we remember Justin. What was it about Justin? Oh, he was in a wheelchair. And Justin was like,
what about me? And they're like, oh, yeah, you, but the wheelchair we will miss. And it's this whole thing about getting reduced to a wheelchair. We get the sense of Justin, like, he's no saint. He's very funny. Did I ever, like, at any point during high school, second year, did I ever, like, force you to watch an episode of Scrubs?
No.
So, this movie came out a year before Scrubs, and these fantasy sequences that he keeps having, his, like, vivid imagination, imagining what's going on in real life through, like, his weird, kooky lens, is, like, it makes sense in a kids movie. Scrubs did it 10 times an episode. It's very, very Scrubs. It happened right before Scrubs and is truly identical. I actually wanted to look up if any of the writers on this, like, went into that because...
Right.
It's a tool and it's from the same era.
Good to know.
So he's imagining his own funeral, like, at a funeral. It's a scene that's, like, funny and weird and real and introduces the themes. They're back. The brother is so whiny. Have you noticed?
So whiny.
He sounds like he does, like, voices for a Disney Channel show. He sounded like
a
voice
actor. He does
sound
like that because he's kind of cute, I guess, in 2000s terms, but he's not
the voice ruins it. Yeah.
The voice totally kinda ruins it. It's kind of like Shawn Mendes.
I was thinking he... Oh my God.
I'm sorry. Have you not heard him speak?
No, never.
Really?
Yeah, no, just like... I thought you were, like, referring to his singing.
No.
I was like, rude.
No. I was saying, like, Shawn Mendes is really hot objectively and a great singer. And then you hear him talk and you're like, yikes. Whoa. There's that. Yeah.
No idea.
Anyway. So... Jinx, yell me a soda. Sorry.
So the brother is very whiny. I don't remember why I wrote that. Justin says shortly thereafter, you get used to the idea of death, which is like...
So dark.
Like, just... Dark. And Frankie is selling it.
Yeah.
Frankie's giving a really good performance.
Yeah. And I don't get why he idolizes his big brother because he's an asshole. Sucks. After his soccer game that he gets back with, he's like mad that a girl is flirting with Seth instead of like Seth pushing him around and then...
Right, giving him his victory lap.
Seth calls her sweetheart.
Seth's girlfriend is way out of his league. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's like, not a chance, sweetheart. Which is so cute coming out of a precocious kid, though. You could also see how this was such a dry run for Malcolm in the Middle.
Totally.
It's like you were being so charming and
precocious. I think this was concurrent to Malcolm.
He's so tiny. Was he ever this small in season one?
I think the pilot, if we look up, like, the... I think this... You're right. I think this happened right before Malcolm.
He's such... You're right. Season one was 2000.
How do I know?
I don't know how she does it.
Okay. So, we get, like, a glimpse of what every day in Justin's life is because at one point he's sitting having breakfast and he gets a headache. And, then his family, he's like, oh, I have a headache. And then his family's like, headache, I'm calling the hospital, I'm going here. And then they're like, mad rush out of the house. And he's like, it's fine. So we see that they have a lot of hospital trips and it's very hectic and everyone in the family has to be involved.
Because if they're not on top of their game, like, something could go very wrong. They say he's had 24 surgeries. And you also see how, like, they kind of don't really listen to him all the time.
Yeah.
It was a very efficient scene.
Yeah. But then we learn also that Justin also wants to be like his dad. He basically just has this fantasy of winning a sports trophy.
That is his goal. That is his motivation. A trophy.
Because he's in a wheelchair, so he just wants a trophy. And all he thinks about is how he wants a trophy. Sorry. Then cut to them talking about old man Vic when they're walking on the street. Quote, they say he kidnaps kids and chops them up in his shed. I heard he robs graves and keeps the coffins in there. Okay.
A question to American listeners. Does every American small town have, like, one creepy house with, like, a creepy villain?
You know what this just reminded me of? What? Home Alone, the guy next door.
Oh, yeah. Who ends up helping?
Who ends up being a super nice guy. Spoiler alert. For Home Alone. But, like, for Home Alone, and, like, they're, and every time they always show him, like, shoveling salt, and it's like, to cover up the bodies.
Is this, like, a big thing? Because I don't remember in my neighborhood there being one house.
We need someone from America. We're very confused about what America is like. Please tweet at us. That,
I think, like, Europe, you know, there's witches and gingerbread houses. It's very German.
Sure.
And in the States, all it ever is Boo Radley. It's the Monster House from Monster House. Monster House?
Monster
Inc. Oh, you weren't in my grade 7 art class where we watched Monster House.
I was like, Monsters, Inc.?
Not Monsters, Quap? Inc.
Anyway. Okay. So back to Justin wanting to do a sport.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like deciding between like what sports he can try and do something in. So he discovers like baseball.
And he poses the concept to his parents at dinner. We get a full courtroom scene.
Which is really cute.
It was really cute. The whole time I was thinking like, I am so charmed. This is so cute. This is a movie for kids that like is so wholesome. So I would for sure play this for my children.
Just wow.
Cute little movie. Like, not like I wouldn't go out of my way, but I'd tape it and be like, oh yeah, pop this in.
Yeah.
You know, it's not minions farting in each other's mouths or like what I like. Sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just sweet.
It is very sweet. Okay, so basically his family has this big debate of if he can play baseball. They decide that he can because they're just like so desperate for him to be happily playing a sport.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately on tryout day, the coach is like, no, you can't play. And he's like, why? And he's like, no. And he's like, why? And then he pukes in his face and that really sucks. And apparently that's very normal that he pukes like multiple times a week.
Yeah.
And you just really feel for him.
They bring up a lot of the symptoms in the car. They're like doing it in a way that I thought was very naturalistic. It was like, I do this, like I have problems controlling my bowels. Like this is such is life.
Yeah.
So sad. Yeah, and then he decides what he can do.
Sorry, during the scene, Frankie Muniz's voice drops dramatically and it's hilarious.
Wait, really?
Because they film this like right in the middle of puberty, right?
Sure.
I
mean,
so...
he looks like a fetus, but...
No. Okay, not okay. I shouldn't have said like dramatically, but we get those hints of puberty coming in.
Oh.
And so you know when they're filming something like right over then, you can really tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how big of a fan of iCarly you were, but with Freddie, there was one season with Freddie where his voice changed every episode, and I thought it was real sweet.
There's something very sweet about it.
Yeah. Anyway.
There's a good episode of the Brady Bunch bit that, sorry.
The Brady Bunch?
Yeah, the, like, middle boy is, like, very, like, self-conscious because his voice is changing, so they all decide to support him by recording a song about it, and his solo in the song is, like, with his awkward voice.
That's really cute.
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
Some things never change.
That's so sweet. Anyway.
So he realizes something he can do, which I called out in my notes, but I'm sure I'm not the only one taking notes, watching Miracle in Lane 2, making predictions and having some of them turn out right. He decides to try his hand at chess.
And then he loses to, like, a 10-year-old, and he's very embarrassed.
He says he was beaten by an embryo.
Yeah, I thought that was really cute because he's so small.
I know!
Like an embryo. Okay, so then... he sees old man Vic at a car show, which is next to this chess tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, old man Vic, what's up? He knows, he realizes that the prize is a trophy. And he was like, hey, old man Vic, I'm in a wheelchair. If you show people that a kid in a wheelchair is competing, they're going to give you the most votes. And therefore, you're going to win the trophy. And old man Vic is like, well, you have a point. So he helps him collect votes for his car at the car show. And sure enough, wins. And Vic is like, a deal is a deal. You get the trophy. I'll drop it off.
Yep.
So.
Start of a beautiful friendship.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
Frankie Muniz notices that his brother is leaving a lot and coming and going. And he's like, what's going on? And his mom's like, oh, just frequent doctor's appointments.
But it's not their family doctor, so he needs to find out who the doctor is. He needs to find his mom's notebook, but he also finds something else.
He... Oh my god. I was so confused. Okay. So in his family, his parents' room, he goes to like find his mom's notebook about where his brother's been going this whole time.
Yeah.
And then this was not necessary to the movie at all. They didn't have to do this, but they deliberately did. He finds strawberry scented massage oil. Ew. Like, that's adult content.
It is adult content.
Also, the thing is completely full.
Yes.
So I was like, I feel bad that his, you know, like, we just learned that his parents are not getting laid.
Yeah, that was a little, and they, like, there's a whole other scene about how the parents aren't getting laid. Like, there's a real B-plot about their love life.
The writers of this deliberately were like, we should have a scene where Frankie's in his parents' room and he discovers their lube and it's strawberry scented.
Yep.
Cool, great director says, great idea.
I mean, at the end we get like...
Editor says, great idea.
It's based on a true story, maybe some of that cute family
footage. Oh my god, I didn't even think about that. If I was his mom, I'd be like, wait, I'm so embarrassed now. I looked so good in this whole thing and now you have to... Anyway.
It's wild. Yeah, because in the next scene, the parents are like, oh, the kids are out. Maybe we could have some alone time. And then...
That doesn't work out.
And then I also realized... Both of the parents are alive and together.
I didn't even think about that.
That's a first.
Wow, that is a first. And there's no sassy little sister. He is the sassy
little sister. Justin's the sassy little sister, and both parents are alive and well and together.
And together. Wow.
To be fair, it's based on a true story. I bet if it was up to Disney, they would change those people's
100%,
lives so that
right.
it could fit the mold. But
you're absolutely right.
In this one sense, good for Frankie.
Yeah.
He goes back to visit God because... He's bummed because he can't get a trophy. Waiting on Old Man Vic to get him the trophy.
Right. So Old Man Vic stops by the house when Seth is just home and says, the trophy came in. Where's Frankie at? And Seth's like, oh, he's out.
Mm-hmm.
Then Frankie finds out when he gets home. And so because he missed Vic, he goes... To his house
garage.
To try and get it because he's that desperate for it. He sees something on the shelf that, like, he thinks is the trophy because it looks just like it. And then tries to get it, but he ends up, like, crashing everything down in the garage.
Breaking this man's prize car.
Oh, so sad. And, like, ruining his entire garage. And, like, that sucks.
And so the way that he's going to make up for it is working for Old Man Vic, helping him out. Which, like... To be honest, if I was that neighbor and this kid came and fucked my shit up, I wouldn't want to see him again.
Yeah,
like,
literally get out.
But
he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And we see that he has this shed on his property.
Yes.
And Frankie's like, what's in the shed? Because you can't see, like, the one where allegedly he, like, eats children in. And he's like, that's private. Get away. Also, Old Man Vic is a horrible actor.
Yeah.
That's private. Get away from there.
Get out.
Yeah.
But of course he sneaks in because he's sneaky Frankie and he sees all of this
so
soapbox derby stuff and there's a projector set up and Justin, the 12-year-old, knows how to operate a projector.
Right. Yeah. It's like, it's 2000. It's not 1970.
Yeah. Like,
it's
we're seeing camcorders in this. Anyway.
No, but I'm saying it's 2000. Like, that doesn't mean we know how to work projectors.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that was just, like, a thing people knew how to do.
Well, it was, like, an old school, like, real projector.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what
crazy.
I'm saying. Like, I don't think that, even though it was an olden day movie for us, I don't think that was, like, a skill the average child had at the time.
Yeah. But anyway, so you... puts it on and we see this home video footage of Old Man Vic and presumably his daughter winning races, doing the soapbox derby, and Justin pieces it together. We piece it together.
And this really pulled at my heartstrings.
I was like, and this is when I remembered that I'd seen it. And from this point on, I could remember things as they were happening. Because, like, this was a movie that was really, like,
yeah,
you know, emotionally very, like, It was doing a lot. Yeah. So then he decides, he takes inspiration from that he wants to be, he wants to try soapbox racing.
Yeah.
But first, after the parents say that it's okay, they excuse themselves and say, like, how are you in the mood for a strawberry?
Ew.
And they sneak away. And then there's this sneaky little jump cut where we see a close-up of a bottle full of red liquid. being opened, but then it cuts away and you see it's Seth drinking like a smoothie. It's the weirdest fucking transition. And like, again, this was so unnecessary and it was so specific.
That one was really for the parents, but it's like, I get how sometimes Disney Channel movies like put in jokes for the parents and stuff, and like I support that, but normally it's like a political joke or like something. It's not like
outright lube.
Yeah, it's like lube.
So just like super weird. But anyway, then he decides to start doing soapbox lessons.
And he asks Vic to help him. And he at first is like, no, absolutely not. Also, Frankie's defense for doing soapbox racing. I take an existential point of view that life and death are just a state of being.
Yeah, that was, like, super deep. And then it's like, haha, oh, I, like, memorized that. But it's just because people ask me all the time if I'm scared of death. And also, in the scene before with God, the second God scene where he's eating the marshmallow, mm-hmm. Frankie Muniz says, I've defended you numerous times against the chaos theory. So here are the two things we know about Justin. One, creationist. And two, existentialist. Like, this guy, if I ever
met, that actually goes into something real about actual Justin in real life that we'll do after.
Actually,
we can just talk about it now because who cares. When I googled like the story, aka I visited the Wikipedia page, which is like 5 sentences long, Justin is actually a Mennonite. And so he's at and the was it the screenwriters?
So he adopted Mennoniteness in adulthood. That family wasn't Mennonite.
No. I think the family was Mennonite. And, oh yeah, he attends the same church as the film's screenwriters.
Mennonite. Not Methodist Mennonite?
So you can be Mennonite and, like, normal.
Don't think you can.
No, you can. Like, you can be of Mennonite descent. Like, I know people who are Mennonite, and then they're normal. They're just, like, also Mennonites.
I'm having a really hard time.
We'll talk about this.
Okay, because Mennonite, that's not the people who are Amish.
Right. So, you can be of Mennonite descent.
I consider my mind blown. This is the most exciting revelation of this whole thing.
Learning things.
Oh my
also,
God.
Also, I'm really sorry if you're listening to this and you're a Mennonite.
No, but they're not. Mennonites don't listen to podcasts.
No, but they do. No. I'm telling you, there's like, you can be a modern person.
Know what? I was at the Megabus stop and I saw someone in a full straw hat and Captain Ahab beard eating a bag of Doritos.
No, but you wouldn't.
Last weekend.
No, but you wouldn't necessarily also be wearing the clothing. Well, I don't know.
Okay, we'll talk about it later. I do not mean to offend, but I'm like so confident that like a Mennonite is it.
Okay, I don't know. Anyway.
Okay, we're done. We're passing it over.
Anyway, back to the movie. Okay, so Vic decides to, like, help him check out a little mini derby. Why does there happen to be a soapbox derby at the end of a street? This reminded me of in Jump In, when there just, like, happened to be statewide double dutch competitions, like, in the neighborhood where everyone could go to. And it's like, that's not a normal thing. There aren't just regionals, nationals, like, everywhere you go. Like,
it's travel expenses. It's fucking expensive. Like, people who are competitive dancers and stuff who have to, like, go all around. You have to go all around.
Yeah, and it's, like, it's just, like, funny because there was just, like, a derby right at the end of his block. And I was like, oh, that's convenient.
Especially because, like, Jump In, at least it's in New York, you can maybe justify. But they're from South Bend or something. Like, they're from a town outside of South Bend, Indiana.
Yeah.
Like, true.
Yeah.
You know what?
True small town.
Very, very, very Christian city, South Bend.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I'm confused about what this sport is, watching this movie. He finds a bold little girl who's polishing her car, the car is black with flames on it. And he goes, hey, any advice? And she goes, yeah, don't get matched up against me. And I am so here for this girl. Like, I'm glad they added a little feminist twist in there.
Yeah, that was good.
So Seth is getting really jealous that all the attention isn't on him for once, like doing sports, and he's like getting really annoyed and that Justin's like checking out all these racers. And then Vic gets really triggered, unfortunately, because it reminds him of his daughter.
And is like, I can't do this anymore. This is the way the world is. Sometimes things are hard and I just can't do it.
Yeah. So his dad takes it upon himself to help him build a race car, a soapbox car. And then Justin says, quote, "Building a race car isn't easy. It's kind of a cross between the Manhattan Project, the Three Stooges, and the Titanic." Qua? The Manhattan Project?
Like, thank you, Cards Against Humanity, Justin. What yeah. a combo. But, like, we know that
the Manhattan Project.
This is a kid who ruminates on death and destruction.
But that was... Okay, I'm sorry, and I'm sorry if this is insensitive. I know you're in a wheelchair, and that sucks. The Manhattan Project is not like you doing soapbox racing. It's not. Like, it's just, like, two different things.
The thing that I stuck to wasn't even that. That glossed over for me. I was just like, oh, Titanic is, like, a new reference for this.
Obviously.
But yes, it is like none of those disasters. Also, Three Stooges isn't like a...
Three Stooges is great!
Yeah, they're fine.
Comedic history.
Why are you putting them in such bad company?
Yeah. Anyway. So his dad is being like amazing.
Getting
Meanwhile,
really
we cut to the fucking saddest scene of the movie where Vic is just watching clips of his daughter and his late wife in the shed, like, crying. And I just wanted to stop the movie because I was so sad.
Genuinely very, very sad.
Okay, cut back to the dad. Seth is getting real jealous that his dad is spending time building the car with Justin, and he's, like, not cool with it. And he's not... And then he misses his important baseball game because Justin's dad is stuck on this idea. Like, he can't use a typical brake that they use in soapbox derbies. So Justin's dad gets hit with this epiphany. When he's pulling out of the driveway, he takes off his manual brake and then realizes that he can use a handbrake.
Right.
So this thought distracts him because he's very passionate about building it, and it makes him miss Seth's really important game, and that's really upsets Seth.
Yeah, because Seth isn't used to that. Seth is the only character in the history of DCOMs who has had two parents at every event.
Yeah.
So he's really upset about it. The dad talks to him, says... sometimes I don't know what's harder, like, being the son in the wheelchair or being his brother. And I was like, I don't know if you're trying to, like, I'd sass say, your son, like...
Yeah. I'd say being the one in the wheelchair.
Having spina bifida is almost... But this movie, like, does go to great, like, lengths to show. And I think because this is a movie that was probably embraced by a lot of, like, homes with a kid with a disability.
Totally.
And a very real thing is, like, the experience of the siblings who have to make a lot of modifications and have a lot of responsibility at a very young age.
Absolutely.
Like, this was such... I think it handled all this stuff, like, so smartly and sensitively.
I agree. So, Justin's car is complete, and he uses it for the first time, but he crashes.
Yeah.
And he realizes the brakes weren't working. And he flips on Seth. He's like, you have been so jealous of me this whole time. Why did you
fuck up my brakes?
Yeah. What's that word? When you sabotage.
Sabotage.
Or whatever.
I mean, yeah.
Sure. My brakes. And that would have been really dark if he did that. And then Justin is like, I know what's wrong with you. You go to a shrink. You're not going to doctor's appointments. So then
and
we realize that's
in front
that's
of his girlfriend and his friend.
Yeah, so that's what like he uncovered. Like that's what we realized he was going to. Who's going to see his psych?
The brother, you know, claps back.
And okay, first of all, this clap back doesn't make sense. He gets mad at Justin. He's like, "Because of you, my life sucks. I have to do everything for you." He goes, "Because of you, we're always broke." And it's like, wait, you're actually not. Have you seen this house that you guys live in?
Okay, but then it's also like, this is a thing where it's like, oh yeah, right. In this nation, if your son has like spina bifida, that makes you broke.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of a really dark moment.
It was a really dark moment. And then he goes, I hate you. I wish you were dead.
Which?
And then Justin was not offended by that.
Justin was the one who felt bad for starting the fight.
Yeah. Then he goes to talk to the god race car driver again. It's like, oh, I really feel bad about what I said to Seth. And it's like, why? He literally just said he wished you were dead?
Like, he, I'm sorry, he comes out and this one is like, that's like a crazy thing to say to a brother who, like, frequently is at risk of death.
Yep.
Anyway, so it's time for the first race. He's so cute in that little car with his big bobblehead, like...
So cute. We're also treated to a great 2000s era song when he's, like, completing all these races,
called
moving up in
blessed.
The ranks.
Like,
called Blessed. And it's great. And once again, I think this movie overstates the audience attendance for these competitions.
Definitely.
As it did for Double Dutch.
Yep.
Just putting that out there.
I mean, I guess I've never, like, been doing the circuit. Indiana, Ohio, whatever. Maybe it's huge. Highly doubt it.
Highly doubt it. So he's, like, winning his... He wins his first race, and they're all, like, excited.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, like, wins more and more races. And then all of a sudden, he's at the finals.
Yep.
So he has a really bad crash and passes out. And this is really scary.
Yeah.
And he's visited in the hospital by his... God, the race car driver. And
Bobby Wade.
And they play video games. And that was cute.
It was very cute.
And we learned that the reason that he was sent there was because old man Vic knows him because he was his mechanic.
Yeah, which is like a weird thing to...
That was...
We also saw earlier like the poster of Bobby Wade in Vic's like garage.
Yeah, so we learned that they knew each other.
And then they find out when they get back from the hospital that... He is able to fill in for a kid who can't make nationals.
So that was very exciting. Seth doesn't want him to compete. And I was honestly kind of surprised that his parents were so down for him to compete.
We're so quick about it.
Because he literally just had to be sent to the hospital. But I guess to them, like, being sent to the hospital isn't a big deal because he always is.
But maybe it was the sort of thing of, like, maybe they had a talk of, like, from now on, even if you're at the race, if you feel the headache coming on, like, just you let us know this next time.
Right.
Anyway, for what he's going to the nationals.
So Vic decides to come with.
Right. In the car.
In the prize car. And, he picks up a girl in the middle of the highway, which was jokes. You know, that's when they're driving and a girl's like, nice car. And he's like, thanks. And then he's like, after I should go up more often. Anyway. And then we find out Vic's backstory. His daughter died in a swimming accident, and he said that his wife died a year later, quote, from a broken heart.
That was so sad.
So sad. for some reason, I have a point in my notes here. I just wrote, not gonna lie, based off of the title, I thought this movie was gonna be about bowling.
I would love that miracle name too, but you know what? PPP gave me, like, too much bowling.
Yeah, true.
I was like, I'm good.
True. Okay, so we pull up to nationals, and the hot girl is there, like, the girl who was like, don't be against me.
And her dad is a three-time champion.
Is he? I missed that.
Oh, Vic called it out, and it was like, whoever's kid, that guy's kid is, like, watch out for them.
I missed that.
So, anyway, whatever.
So he looks inside Justin's car and uncovers the handbrake.
Right.
And he's like, well, that's weird. So he must report it because then the next day the race people come to their door and they're like, you can't compete with the handbrake. Also, this guy totally cops out. So it's one of like the race management people. He's like,
yeah,
I don't know what they're going to say, but it's not looking good. Next we cut to a jury
and
he votes against it. And I was like, well, that wasn't.
I know. And then this bozo, spoiler alert at the end, says he's proud to present, like, yeah, likely story.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the committee, these grown old men who decide what you can and can't do in your soapbox car is all saying that this poor boy can't compete. And then Seth comes in.
With the media.
He's brought the media.
Which was, so you're like, oh, Seth's a good guy, even though he just did a lot of bad shit.
Yeah, and now he says, like, do you want to be seen on, like, national television telling a boy in a wheelchair he can't compete in a soapbox derby, or do you want to do something for inclusivity? So,
they let him compete.
Which, yeah.
So he wins the first race and the second race. Oh, I forgot to look this up. But the hot girl's dad looks just like the bully from Back to the Future. Is it him?
I straight up wrote... like Biff.
Yeah.
And I was saying it as a joke the first time, and then I saw him again and I was like, oh, is that Biff? I don't know. I don't think so. But right. That was such
resemblance. But
yeah. I wasn't sure either. Also, the announcer is the dad on Even Stevens.
Oh my god, I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah.
Wow. I love how they just throw everyone into a movie.
Yes, they're utility.
They have contractual obligations. Okay, so then it's the final race, and Justin is up against the hot girl.
Mm-hmm.
And before the race, Seth runs over to the car and tells Justin he's the most amazing person he knows and that he's his hero. And
so
oh my
cute.
God, I'm crying here. It was amazing.
Like, really so cute. We get some Justin voiceover as he's racing, saying, like, oh, is my phone buzzing?
Yes.
It's my mom. I feel like we summoned her by talking about, like, nice family.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, and he says, like, I used to just, like, want a trophy, but now having my brother's words in my head that, like, I'm his hero and I'm the most amazing guy he ever met. It was just,
he
like,
realizes
so...
he doesn't need a trophy.
He didn't. He just wanted his brother
but
to
then
not
he's
be
like,
an asshole.
Never mind. I actually do want a trophy.
It
and then
cute.
He wins. And then we're like, true.
Classic Justin. The side of his car says Justin time, by the way.
Okay, then we go to the most epic ending scene ever, which is really confusing. So he wins, and he mm-hmm. thanks God, and then he has another daydream with Bobby Wade, and he asks if he gets to heaven, if people are perfect, and then God's like...
I thought this meant he died. I thought he died, but...
No, then God's like, well, let me show you. Opens the door to heaven, and it's all people flying... In wheelchairs.
It's angels. Angel Wing Halo. 2000s animation or special effects. Wheelchair angels.
It was the strangest ending to a movie we have seen. Actually, PPP was pretty bad, but
no,
this
was
made
next
no
level.
Sense. We were like, wait, what? This was like, could have just been a great movie. End it with a fade to black, Justin holding up the trophy.
That's all you needed.
All you needed. Then why are we shown God opening heaven's gates and it's only angels in wheelchairs? I was like, wait, where's everybody
and
else?
And that makes Justin go,
does that mean people get, does that make people get injured?
You knock out your knees.
You get injured before you enter heaven, or only the wheelchair people are entitled? What about other disabilities?
I think it's, like, segregated. He just gets to go to wheelchair heaven.
I was just like, what was that?
It was so weird. And could I tell, so up until that, when it was, like, going, it was saying, what's it like in heaven? And him being like, I'll show you. I was like, oh no, he died. He died. I hadn't looked up the true story yet. And I was like, if this movie ends with a fucking in memoriam and dedication, like, I'm throwing my computer against the wall. No, no, no. And I was getting teary and I was getting so worked up. And I was like, no, Justin. And then the doors open to this ridiculous like, just zipping around. It was,
yeah.
A bit of a misfire.
A little bit. So
I don't know.
Movie,
I'm sorry. I don't know what church all these people are going to, but I don't know if that's part of it. I don't want to disrespect it, but if that's part, like, it was just a weird image.
It was really weird.
So that's the end.
And then we start to see, like, how this is based off a true story. So we see images of actual Justin Yoder, and it's really cute.
It's so cute.
And so he was the first child with a disability to drive in a soapbox in the All-American Soapbox Derby. And uh-huh. in 1996, he... challenged the regulations to allow kids with disabilities to use hand brakes instead of regular brakes, and that is now called the Justin brake.
Like, stop!
I know, so cute.
This is also definitely our first based on a true story we've seen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is. Are there more than one? Like, is like,
no, I hope
Wendy
so.
Woo a real person?
Yeah, a real homecoming warrior. okay, like, just very, so cute. I also
very
want to
sweet.
Apologize to my, like, ignorance of a certain religion. I'm just, like, really, my true, I assumed Mennonite
no,
was the
you know
same
what?
As
we don't
I'm
even,
very shook.
No, you know what? We, neither of us know anything, so
we
that's
really
fine.
Don't. We come from an extreme
so
bubble.
So excuse us.
So, like, fully, so I don't mean anything by it.
I know, yeah, no, I think everyone knows.
Okay.
Okay, so let's rate this movie.
Right.
Okay, so I think here we've uncovered your favorite kind of Disney movie. To me, it's very clear. You've been hating the ones that are more modern. Every time you're like, ugh, I hate this. And anytime one is like a little wholesome old one from the year 2000s, you're like, well, this is the best fucking movie I've ever seen. So, like, it's very clear
well,
what
Smart
you like
House
and what you don't.
Wholesome. Smart House is kind of kinky.
You think everything is kinky?
No, this was not kinky. This would be rude.
But the thing is, but the funniest part is this one is the most outright kinky because of the lube mentions.
But outright sexuality isn't the same as kink. Like, right. Kink is like a little fucked up. Smart right. House is like a little fucked up.
Right. Anyway, so I feel like we've uncovered that, like, you're gonna hate every movie that isn't this kind of movie.
I don't think that's true. I love Cadet Kelly, which is from the era, but not this type of movie. That's like my, I think my ultimate favorite is still a mid-century Disney.
Okay.
We just haven't done enough yet.
Okay, that's fair. But I think this is great. It's based on a true story. It does that amazing J.K. Rowling thing where it talks to kids about death so plainly.
Whoa.
But in a way that is, like, it's meaningful to them and it appeals to them, but it doesn't just pretend that it doesn't happen. It's not like every other Disney movie where they're like, oh, my mom died. Like, oh, wait, but I need a double Dutch. Like, it's just like, it addresses it head on.
Yeah.
And so even though there is like the quote unquote perfect family, which he does have absolutely a perfect family. And I think that was a function of it being based off a true story and them wanting to represent them. Right. It talks about death and is like, listen, I'm a kid. Here are my problems. I shit my pants often. I'm in a wheelchair. Like, this is what it's like. But he talks about it in a way that's to kids. And as you've mentioned previously, it does not underestimate the intelligence of its audience.
Totally.
So I am going to give this movie a solid 4.5. Fuck, what's my object going to be? 4.5 strawberry lube bottles.
I don't know why I was rubbing on my shoulder.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, well, this is actually shocking because you're giving it a higher ranking than me.
Really?
And I, like, straight up cried at the end a little.
You're hard to please, though. I'm a lot easier to please.
The reason why I was only going to give it 4 Justin Breaks, which was my plan, was because I can't rate this higher than Smart House, because I, like, Smart House is a fucking insane. And I think, like, I need my decoms. Like, if something's going to reach the highest highs, it needs to be a bit fucking insane. And yeah. This is just, like, a bit too, like, good.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, there's sure. No ribbon dance.
There's no ribbon
there's
dance,
no,
for sure.
It's just good.
It's good.
But really good. Like, I think this is a solid one, and I was, like, remembering a lot of scenes from it from my childhood, even though I definitely didn't, like, seek this one out or see it more than once, because it's, like,
you wouldn't need to do that.
And that's, like, I think, like, a good decom is something that stays in your heart.
Totally. And they would do nothing like this anymore because it doesn't have a soundtrack that's viable or a musical dance number that everyone wants to do.
Yeah, there would have to be more blessed. Well, this one obviously you can't have choreography for a lot of reasons. I'm so sorry.
Okay. And okay.
I think we need to kind of like
should
pull
we do
the
a
break on this one.
Stop! How long have you been waiting to say that?
I literally just came. I explained to Jackie in advance that this weekend I'd never seen it. Netflix in Canada has all of season 8, but only season 8 of RuPaul's Drag Race. I've never seen an episode. I have now seen every episode of that season twice. they're keeping puns alive. Them and the New York Post are just keeping puns
alive.
And it's just very hard to like snap out of it once you're on that pun train. So that was my fair warning. Let's do a quick Where Are They Now?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so I'm going to propose an alternate title for Where Are They Now and just call this What the Fuck Has Frankie Muniz Been Up To? Have you heard about this guy at all? It's not like he's doing anything particularly interesting. It's just like, he used to rule the world, and now where is he? Where's Frankie doing?
I will say, a couple years ago, someone was retweeting, Frankie Muniz would, like, sassily respond to people, like, tweeting about Frankie Muniz, essentially asking, like, what the fuck is Frankie Muniz up to? And, like, he would send mean answers.
That's
like,
really funny. That's kind of like James Blunt.
Yeah.
I have this one particular move. Okay, so Frankie Muniz, from what I've seen in interviews, is not a nice guy.
No, well, on Twitter, he's definitely not.
I saw on Barbara Walters, this was in the mid, like, his peak fame.
Big Fat Liar,
Cody Banks, and, like, Malcolm era. He was his peak fame, he did an interview with Barbara Walters, and she was like, how do you do all that? Because she was doing a segment about, like, the richest, most famous kids or whatever.
Right.
And he was on it. And I was watching this at my Bubby and Zadie's house, I remember. And she was like, how do you do everything? And he was like, oh, my people do this, my people do that, my people do that. And she kept on being like, my people? What do you mean about that? And he was like, yeah, my people, like, they're mine, they work for me. And I was like, what an arse.
Frankie,
so he's
Jesus.
Not a nice guy. No. Anyway, also, side note, do you remember that episode of Lizzie McGuire? Where Frankie plays himself and he dates Lizzie and it's really stressful. Because that is a great
yes!
episode.
Oh my god, yeah. And
Frankie,
it was
she's getting followed by the Paps. Has. Yeah.
That's crazy to think about in this year of our Lord Bobby Wade 2017.
Yes. So, moral of the story is he's not really doing much. He's doing random acting gigs, like he was in the Sharknado series.
Oh, sad.
And he's, according to his Instagram, an avid golfer and race car driver. Foreshadowing.
Whoa.
Much. That's really it.
That probably gave him the bug. Okay, well, sad. The mom is PPP.
That's what I was gonna say, and I didn't notice. I didn't notice.
You didn't notice?
I didn't notice the mom is the director of the PPP with the horrible Russian accent, and I died.
I saw it, and I was like, oh my god.
Because I was going through her IMDb, and I was like, oh, iZombie, interesting, we're all over like that. And I was like, wait, we've done this already. It was weird. It was a weird deja vu for, like, having literally done this 2 weeks ago.
Okay,
anyway.
So I could care less about the brother. I mean, about the dad, I'd like to know what the brother's done.
No, but sorry, the dad, his real name is Rick Rossovich. So that's just important to note about myself. And I thought I would mention that his IMDb page opens with Rick Rossovich, considered one of the nicest people to work with, is also a devoted family man. And
wow,
I was like, that's great.
That's cute how his wife wrote his IMDb thing.
So he was in Top Gun. He played Slider. He's in everything, actually. He used to do a lot of acting. He hasn't done much lately, though. He was also in ER, which I thought was, like, old school soap. Pretty cool. Not old school, like 2000s.
And 90s. It was just, like, around
yeah.
forever.
Okay, so I'm sorry to tell you that Seth Yoder, played by Patrick Lewis, he's done nothing. He was in the DCOM Brink, which we will get to.
Of course.
That's, like, an OG.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't age cute. He's not cute.
I mean, he wasn't that cute even then.
Yeah. And Vic Sauter has been in a bunch of soap operas, but nothing really. So the moral of the story is no one in this movie has done much. The most exciting thing is that Myron Yoder, aka the dad, his real name is Rick Rossovich.
Yep.
And that's great in and of itself.
Oh, now I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that was a blast and a half.
It really was.
And if you guys have requests, by God, we will do them.
We'll do it.
We'll do anything. We
like,
beg at the end
we're
of
like nothing. Justin. We're such good kids. We don't complain.
Yeah. Like, just tweet at us, at DCOMGroupies. Make sure to follow us. Or you can send us an email, DCOMGroupies@gmail.com. And we will definitely either reply or talk about it.
Yeah.
On this podcast. So make sure to do that. And we'll do any requests. Otherwise, I hope that you have a super fun family vacay and get your suntan on.
Yeah, we're doing full Even Stevens the movie.
Yeah, get your suntan on. Wear like a nice caftan.
I'll do it. What are you up to the next few weeks?
You know, just my regular life. Not going on family vacay. So.
You'll finally watch Bachelorette?
Yeah. Ugh. Don't even get me started. Okay.
All right.
Okay. So thanks for listening, and I will catch you later.
I wish I could do that break thing now, but bye.